You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting on 860 AM radio in Philadelphia and the tri-state area. Remember, our signal serves southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And if you received our notice today, the email, send it off to a family member and friend and invite them to tune in. There will be a rebroadcast link up today. And also, they can go on to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com anytime we are live here on 860, which is daily from 11 a.m. until 12 noon, and on Sundays from 12:30 until 1:30 in the afternoon. But our Wednesday broadcast is dedicated to the Buy American Made campaign. And of course, our theme across the board has been Support American Made First. I'd like to welcome Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Conley, the National Small Business Advocate, who has been a very important voice on our broadcast, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and of course, our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash, and Curtis Ellis is on the road today after a very interesting debate. I'm going to welcome some respectful reactions to the presidential debate today. And first of all, before I begin, I just want to give everybody a little bit of a report on how things are going with the national voter registration drive. If you go to the Gallup poll, it lists as of today that 31% of the people are registered as Democrats. 25% of the people are registered as Republicans. And 40% of the people are registered as independent voters. And then there are a few percent that are libertarians and other, you know, the Green Party and things like that. Now, the reason I mention that today is because the debate and the presidential campaign will be directed to more independent voters than any of us expected years ago. And I mean, 20 years ago, independent voters were 5%. Today, they're all the way up to 40%. So today, Democrats and Republicans no longer have the majority of registered voters. With all the voter registration campaigns in the last 6 months, it's hard to believe how it all turned out. But these are the facts and figures. You can check them out as soon as the broadcast is over. And of course, in some states, you still have the opportunity to register to vote. And we have a great register to vote link on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And when you put in your zip code, it'll tell you if your registration is open and all things like that. I'm also encouraging people, if you really have to vote by mail, do it now and get it in, and so we can end all of this foolishness that we are going to have votes coming in a week later, 14 days and all that. Why can't you get the form and send it in, period? But most importantly, in the state of Pennsylvania, yesterday's poll announced that 67% of the voters are rejecting the mail-in situation and have decided and stated that they will come to the polls to cast their vote. That's very interesting. And also, before I go to our great panel, from what I see, the talking heads in all the national news media, every station no longer represents the majority of the American people. The new voters are independent, and they want a leader that represents America, not a political party. That has been clearly demonstrated in this voter registration campaign drive. Now, that is all the old voters and all the new voters combined as of just maybe 10 days ago, and that's what we see. One more before I go to each of our panel members. As far as the first debate, I was disappointed. I was disappointed because there was very little discussion on how the American people will be benefiting from the changes that this world has brought upon us. There was too much battling like schoolboys. I learned very little about step-by-step plans to make America better and to get people back to work to a level of normalcy, and that was brought about as a result of the coronavirus, which originated in China. I do compliment President Trump for mentioning that a few times, because that is not mentioned in the national news media, that originated in China. And if they had given us the word back in late October and in November that the Wuhan lab did have a problem and we should be concerned, we would not be in the situation we are today. The American people want to hear real ideas, not who did something in the past. I'm not interested in what happened in the past. I'd like to see step-by-step plans to restore America as the best place to live and flourish. And I hope that the next debate will give us that opportunity. I'm going to turn first today to Rich Loges, because this debate also represented the future of American workers. I wanted them to talk about how they're going to pull jobs back. They talked about raising taxes. Mr. Biden talked about raising taxes. Here we are. We dropped the corporate tax rate to 21%. So businesses were coming back. If it goes back up to 38%, where the hell are we going to be? First, Rich.
Good morning, Michael, and Mark, Larkin, Curtis, wherever you are, listeners, good morning. Michael, I'll try to answer your question in a directly indirect way here. If anyone was unsure before last night that most of our legacy press is spectacularly worthless, Larkin, all doubt should be laid to rest today. If anyone last night was saying, you know, I listened to Loges, I think he's right that most of the legacy press is worthless. But let me tune into the debate just to see if he's wrong. Today, this morning, anyone objectively should be saying, no, I think he was right about that. Not Michael, not because I have the right. I don't think I have the right to be right. But as I reminded someone today before I spoke to our audio engineer, swing voter in a swing state, we're 792 hours away from the most revelatory moment in the history of the world. We're going to earn those votes. And FYI, Michael, in the state of Pennsylvania right now, Republican registration is outpacing Democrat registration.
And 67% of the people said they will show up at the polls.
And so I always say all the time, Mark, small business owners, senior citizens, working families, young people starting out in life, I have never been and probably never will be a debates person. All it is crosstalk, interruptions, and Democrat media industrial complex talking points, Larkin. Now, in fairness, Chris Wallace was spoken over a lot yesterday, Michael, but let me tell you that if no one ever spoke over him whatsoever, I already know, Mark, where he got his debate prep from. It's whatever the New York Times and the Washington Post has published the last 5 years, and some other publications here and there. And no minds were changed, Michael. And I'm going to go out. In 2016 on this show, I predicted, I went on public record and said that candidate Trump is going to be the nominee, and I went on public record and I said, Mark, that we were going to win the general election, if you guys remember all this. I have it on public record. I have the evidence to back up my claim. Well, let me make, Michael, my prediction right now. The voting bloc that is going to determine this election one way or the other is a voting bloc that is going to vote in protest against the rioters and the looters in the cities and defund the police. That voting bloc overwhelmingly is going to vote against Joe Biden. That is the voting bloc. I don't know however many there are, but it's going to be voters who don't vote, or they rarely vote, or they never vote. That block, Michael, I am telling you now, I am sure of it, comprise most of those new Republican registrations that you have in the state of Pennsylvania, just like for me and Larkin here in Florida. And you want to know something about that voting block, Larkin? Not a single one of them watched last night because they don't care about any of those issues. But they are going to cast a protest vote against Joe Biden because of Black Lives Matter, because of the looters in the streets, Michael, and defund the police. And that ultimately is what's going to push the president over the finish line for reelection. It's going to be that voting bloc that doesn't care about anything. Now, should they care about these issues? Sure, but they don't. So when all is said and done, all that matters, Mark, is the math. That's all that matters. Is the math, Michael?
I agree.
And the people who are going to push the math column into the 270 column, not a single one of them watched last night. They are going to cast protest votes for the president. And I have to just say one last point, and it's not just from last night, but it's leading up to this. For a campaign that believes it's going to win, and I'm talking about the Joe Biden campaign. A campaign that believes it's going to win doesn't spend, Mark, 24 hours a day telling us all the reasons they're going to lose. The DNC, Michael, does not believe that they're going to win in November. And it's why they're setting up right now all the reasons that they're going to tell us for 4 years why they lost. And that reason is going to be the Supreme Court. Because the Supreme Court is going to intervene sometime in November or December, and they're going to ask this question. Why do all of you states out there think that you can just arbitrarily change dates on when ballots are due?
Yeah, Rich, that is something that I don't understand.
Why this case is going to be decided, and that's why this election is going to be decided in the Supreme Court, and the Democrats know that when it comes down to nine justices ruling, five or more are going to ask the question, why does the state of Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania think that they can just change dates around? It's election day, not election year.
Well, quite honestly, legally, it should be done by the House and Senate of any state.
Which is why the Supreme Court is going to intervene, just like they did in the state in Florida after we went through. Although this time is going to be different, Larkin. It's not going to be one state. It's going to be numerous states. And because it's going to be numerous states, Mark, that's why it will go immediately to the Supreme Court and not start in the state court.
But in the House and Senate of any state, it's supposed to, the election deadlines
Michael,
are supposed to be set
DNC
by the House and Senate,
states?
Not by any Michael, courts.
Michael, do you think the DNC cares about states' rights?
Oh, I know.
Federalism.
But the thing is,
on, you know,
what I don't
on,
understand man. Is some states said we can accept ballots 14 days after the election. I'm sorry, Larkin,
I'm
you
saying,
know yourself, as a person who's worked the polls for many years, election day ends at 8 o'clock that night unless there's a line of people standing out there ready to vote. This counting the ballots, if a person receives a ballot today, the 30th, of September, you have it in your possession. It should be in the mail in a week. Why are you holding on to it and sending it the day of the election, the day before the election, or the day after the election? It should be received. A deadline should be the last day of October, period. Anything other than that, right to the side. Oh, no. Larkin, let's have your thoughts on this issue.
Well, good morning, Rich. Hi, and Michael, Henry, Mr. Handel. Good morning to all of you. And the day after the first debate, did I watch it? Yes, I did, from end to end. Did I wish I hadn't watched it? I'm going to have to say, yeah. After it was all over, I kind of gave myself a pat on the back saying, boy, if you could sit through that, you could probably do a life sentence in a 4x6 jail. I've never... So everybody raise your hand. Raise your hand real high. Preferably the right hand. If you're proud to be a member of either one of the major parties, raise your hand real high. I'm so proud to be a Republican. I'm so proud to be a Democrat. What was that? What did we just have to sit through? I heard with my own little ears a man who wants to be president calling a man who has been voted in and sworn in as the president of the United States, I heard him call him a clown. Not once, twice. A clown.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, a clown, oh my Lord. And then he said, you're the worst president in the history of the country. Well, I got news for you, guy. That's not the way the numbers shake down. You're still, you know, everybody's still working hard to replace Carter as the worst president in the history of the country. And there were a couple back there way back in the 18th century that you could probably raise your hand. They were just absolutely miserable presidents. But he actually, on a debate stage, said to Donald Trump, you're the worst president in the history of the country.
Well, you know, Larkin, for the record, for people that don't follow a particular political party, I felt they saw too many interruptions. It was a distraction for them to watch. If I was the host...
Too many interruptions?
It was ridiculous. And name call, it was unnecessary. It was almost like schoolboys going after each other in the fifth grade over, you know, somebody smiled the wrong way or laughed behind their back or whatever. If I was the host, I would have stopped the debate right on the spot and said, both of you honored the rules. They were agreed upon before this debate began. Until you're ready to go forward, the debate is on hold. No more interruptions.
Chris Wallace did do that.
But he didn't do it with force. He danced around. I wouldn't have danced. I would have said, I'm sorry. This cannot continue. There's only one thing I saw yesterday, which I liked, and yet I wondered also. People saw that President Trump is not a person who does not speak up for the people that he represents to ensure that all sides of a debate, a negotiation, be it with elected leaders, business leaders, with foreign leaders, is not done with his point of view and America's point of view. I learned that yesterday more than ever. I mean, it was an ugly situation. I would have liked to see the discussion point and counterpoint, and the endless interruptions didn't allow that. And Larkin, somebody who's been involved in the political field for many years, I'm sure you agree that should have been stopped the first 10 minutes of the debate by Chris Wallace. I found him to be a little unlike he normally is. He could have been more forceful. He is a very forceful person, but he wasn't yesterday. I would have stopped it.
I can't. It's very hard for me to criticize the policeman and not criticize the perpetrators. For the two men who this country is looking at to be president, to act the way they acted last night for almost 2 hours is embarrassing.
Yeah,
and it's did Donald Trump embarrass me last night? Yeah, yep, he did massively. Did what's his name Biden? Yes, he did. He embarrassed me beyond a point. He acted in a way that I have never seen that politician act. But, you know, when you're running to be president, and by the way, when he said, "And we're going to make things in America," I wanted to send the posse out for him so we could string him up. You mean to tell me we had to wait 47 years for you to run for president, for you to mention that things should be made in America? You boob.
Well, you're right. Larkin, you are so right. You are so right. When I heard that in the news media and on a few stations for the last, say, 2 weeks, 47 months as opposed to 47 years, I thought to myself, that's a very interesting point. And it is, because in 47 months, we changed a lot of the rules and regs of the game. Countries who were giving very low rates in their country to bring businesses to their lands now have to compete with low rates in America. So where does a company want to be? In America, where they don't have to worry about all the people looking for American-made labels, where they don't have to worry about shipping the stuff into America. There was none of that was really focused upon. You know, Larkin, Rich, Mark, everybody listening, all of us who are supporters of American Workers Radio know that our discussions are always proactive. We always promote America's businesses, American workers, a good education for America's youth, and respect for our fellow Americans. We are proactive, not reactive, as was discussed. It wasn't discussed as the jobs were being lost here in this country. Which of the candidates in the first presidential debate really impressed any of you, anybody listening, anybody watching, as the person who's going to focus on American workers and the goal of bringing back jobs and expanding our job base here in the United States of America? That would be the last thing that I would say that I heard yesterday.
Well, you know, It amazes me to listen to these guys call each other liars. I mean, it was, although, you know, I have to pat Trump on the back a little, because he really didn't call anybody names. I mean, he didn't, certainly didn't say Sleepy Joe, which I expected to hear pretty quickly, he did call out for Crooked Hillary, but I don't know. Here's what I'll promise you. Here's the only thing I'll promise you. If in fact the Democratic Party takes over the executive branch and the House, on the heels of a promise made by Joe Biden that we're going to make things in America, I'm here to tell you the Democratic Party will not do squat. Will not do squat to bring business back to the United States of America. Period. Amen. They won't do it. It's not in their DNA. Businessmen are crooks and thieves, and it very much brings to mind. And thank God, Biden wasn't smart enough to put both of his feet in his mouth by talking about taxes. Donald Trump, what a hoopty-doo.
You know, Larkin, I want to ask you a question.
Who cares? Who cares what Donald Trump paid in taxes? Donald Trump is an organization the size of probably over 50% of the companies in this country. He's a huge land developer, and he takes advantage of depreciation the way any land developer does, and he does his taxes to code. Has the IRS ever sued or brought criminal charges against Donald Trump for the way he treated his taxes?
No.
Do I have an answer to that question?
No.
No. It's never happened. And Donald Trump is smart enough to know that America would see nothing but the fact that, oops, he didn't pay any taxes. Well, of course he didn't pay any taxes. You show me a developer that pays taxes against our current tax code and the depreciation clauses and the ability to borrow money off of one property to buy another property and sell the original property it's such a cluster, whatever. But guess what? It is the Democratic Party's tax code.
Larkin,
and
let me.
That's what Donald Trump is doing his taxes on, based on the Democratic tax code.
You know, let me just mention, that's very good you said that. It reminded me of something that person mentioned to me at least 10, 12 years ago. He said, Michael, we have to look at every way to get whatever tax benefits are available. And I said, well, that's the way to do it. The thing is, the people in Washington wrote those tax codes.
The
elected officials agreed to those tax codes.
Yes.
And Mr. Biden served there for many years, so if he took advantage over the years, God bless him. Mr. Trump is not an accountant, and his accountant or accountants are responsible for making sure that he has a profit and he will be able to continue to operate his many businesses. And many people, especially people in real estate, buy two houses and leverage a third house to buy a fourth house and all. This is common business practice. And of course, that is the way the tax codes are written. And I don't think that's going to go very far, because if Trump had some needs, he could sell four or five properties and just pay the money to whatever they say. I don't believe it's going to be anything like that. In America, I'm seeing that the news media can say, this is how it is, and people who hear it for the first time believe it.
And this is how stupid Americans are. All they heard was that Donald Trump paid $750 worth of taxes 2 years in a row. That's all they heard. They didn't hear why. They didn't hear how. They didn't hear, did he violate the law? Did he break the tax code? No. In all of the cases, no, 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 and no. And for him to withhold his taxes is probably a very, very smart move, because why release something for everybody to look at that nobody understands?
You're right.
Nothing's going to come out of that except bad news. And that's because Americans are stupid. All they heard was $750.
Larkin, first off, forget about everybody's opinion about liking, whether they like Joe Biden or like the president or dislike either. Everyone's likes and dislikes, Mark, are worthless opinions. In the actual article, Larkin, the actual New York Times story, forget about whether you like or not. What are the actual facts? Let's just look at the numbers. It says in the actual story that millions of dollars in taxes were paid. An estimated tax. It says it in the story.
Well, no, it's Rich. Any business person knows
Larkin's point of it is that most of the people. I'm sorry, Larkin. I'm kind of speaking for myself here, but as a follow up to what you, if you hooked up a lie detector test to every Democrat commenting on the New York Times story, 99.99% of them didn't actually read the article, Mark.
Well, they didn't read the article. Yeah.
If they read the article, they would not be able to put all this.
No, they read the headline.
Right. They wouldn't be able to put all this fodder to it.
But here's where they got the headline. They got the headline from either the mostly worthless Democrat media industrial complex or the mostly worthless content from some CNN or MSNBC, or they got it from what I call the, to paraphrase T.S. Eliot, the wasteland, the Eliotonian wasteland of worthless opinions called social media. That's where they got the number from.
And you know, before I'm going to turn,
where they saw it.
I want to turn to Mark.
That it's that.
Because Mark is a businessman who is in business as we speak, and every business has to make a profit. Every business has to have estimated profit taxes paid to the city, the state, the federal government. The tax accountants are very careful so that they don't get in trouble and so that Mark or any other businessman doesn't get in trouble. I don't know how many people the Trump Organization employs, but I will say that every employee, before they can get their annual statement, their W-2, has to have all taxes paid by the employer. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that people don't understand. Making a profit is very important. Mark Andel can't keep his store open. He can't keep any people employed if he doesn't make a profit. Is that right, Mark?
Absolutely. Mike, welcome. Hello, Lark, and Rich and Henry. Curtis ain't with us. So I was thinking of Larkin a lot last night. First, Mike, I want to talk about the debate. I did sit, get ready for it, watched it, and oh boy, my daughter came home. She had watched it with her friend, and said, "I said, what'd you think?" She said, "It was like sixth graders going
That's
at it,
right.
Dad."
right.
You know, and I went around today. I thought of Larkin a lot last night. I thought you'd be a lot more wound up, Larkin. But I thought of you. You know how that debate went down, and speeches I've done and things like that. And, you know, everyone that I talked to at General Welding, I went around to six people on purpose and a couple that I knew were Biden, you know, based. And everyone was just disgusted in general, both sides. My sister Cheryl and brother-in-law, they were going home to watch it. She lasted 10 minutes. She said, "I taped it. I think we're going to watch it later someday." my ops manager watched it for an hour. Everybody, you know, Trump's a street fighter at the end of the day. I said he's a street fighter. He's not taking the foot off the throat. And he knows the government has corruption, the media is corrupt, and you could see it on his face. So, but Joe Biden did some things. His no police, you know, couldn't really, organizations that back him, said Antifa really isn't real. And, you know, he said he saved manufacturing, and I almost – when Trump got elected, I got work immediately, military work, oil mining work immediately that week. So there was outright lies there. And then when he talks about 100 corporations that he's going to tax more, and when you take the tax law back from 21% to 38%, Mike, you've got a problem. You don't have growth, and you got people leaving the country again.
Running out of America again, right.
Absolutely. And then, like you said, Larkin, you mentioned that Made in America, and I watch his commercials, and I'm going, boy, they look like mine, but you're throwing all that at the end. Nothing happened with the Obama administration with that. I did the speeches at the UAWs. I seen how disgusted they were about their guy. And everybody said, don't look in the rearview mirror. You know, we got to give them four more years, and nothing happened. But on the tax code, there's something called a loss carryback, and I actually learned from Donald Trump. You know, if you had a good year and then a couple bad years behind it, you can forward your losses. Mike, you know, a company pays a lot of taxes through payroll taxes, FICA, state, federal, and then also you've got franchise taxes. Every business, even if you're not a franchise, a lot of people don't know that, but in New York, you got to pay a franchise tax. You also pay, you know, there's a lot of deductions. You know, Larkin nailed it, depreciation. That's what you do to grow. You buy equipment that helps the economy. You write it off, and you keep growing. You keep your cash flow going, and you have growth. So Donald Trump is using the tax law to, you know, keep him going. You can sell $100 million in product, and it might have cost you $110 million. You didn't make a dollar, but you look really good. And you keep the cash flow going. So I think Larkin, your point on with that is just being smart businessman, and that's why we want a businessman to run the country. But overall, yesterday, everybody was kind of disgusted. I don't think Trumpers aren't going to vote for Trump. And Biden, guys, I think Biden hurt himself with a few things he said that he's not going to, the Green Act or, you know, manufacturing. There's some outright lies, but otherwise, I think everybody's opinion, they were very disappointed on that debate. But I do think Mike made in America matters more. It fires me up more because what I'm doing grassroots, I've opened another store last Friday. I think that's still more important. And I like when you say, I mean, what was it, Democrats 20 or 35% registered, Republicans 25, but Independents 45? I always
40%, 40%. Yeah.
I always wanted the American Party, but maybe that's because...
I mean, it may be at some point in the future. I said this about two years ago, and I got clobbered when I said we should have a third party.
Can I ask Mark something?
Yes.
And Mark, and this will be, and it's not a gotcha. Mark, it's based on what we talked about today. So full disclosure, we did chat about this.
I was worried about that you didn't text
me after the debate. There's one point, Mark, that I wanted to hear asked about, and it actually was the Biden interview with David Muir last month, when Biden said unequivocally, in no uncertain terms, unambiguously, Larkin, that if the scientists said shut the country down economically, Biden would do it. And the question that I wanted to hear was, why as a president would you take advice on the largest economy in the history of man from scientists? Why would we take advice on what to do economically, Larkin, from scientists?
Well, there's an awful lot of people out there that think that I'm waiting for the 12th year. I think we're on year 7 now. I'm waiting for the 12th year.
No, I'm not talking about climate. No, wait, excuse me. I'm talking about COVID. Biden was asked on David Muir's show about COVID. If the scientists say shut the economy down, Biden said he would do it. Mark, why would a president shut down the most powerful? Why are we taking economic advice from scientists?
You know, Rich, you brought up a good question because they brought that COVID up, and I think Trump should have stuck to his plan. I shut the China off first in January. I shut 33 European countries off. Boom, 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 boom. And I don't think it was fair. Biden threw up your bad economy. There was a pandemic, and I do like that Trump did credit China for that gift. And the nice thing is nothing made in China lasts long, so COVID's not going to last that long. But I do think that was unfair with the economy. Because the economy was blown away from a pandemic. And, Rich, what you're saying, I wouldn't take that decision. You had the best economy going. I had the best year rolling coming into 2020 that I've had in 5 years easily. And it was the best economy, you can ask anybody. And people were starting to come together. They were getting more confidence. They were getting disposable income. Consumer confidence was way up. Trump should have just rolled on that. The 3 years were awesome. You know,
they were.
Built it up.
Why would we let a scientist, two scientists in a room say shut it down? Why would we let two scientists listen to those? Why are we taking economic advice, Larkin, from scientists?
Yeah, my concern is this.
Why? But why would he do that? I want to know a question. Why would you take economic advice from two or three scientists in a room who say shut it down?
Mm-hmm.
Why? And ask the question until you get an answer. So we could shut it down until we get a 1%, until we're at 1% for a 99% non-fatal disease, and then when every business is out of business in America, we could say, well, we don't have COVID, but we all don't have a pot to piss in either.
That's right. And over two,
but I don't have any COVID, which I would have survived with a 99% chance anyway. But I ain't got a pot to. Sorry, if I get fined for that, Michael, send the bill to Larkin from the FTC. We don't have a pot to you know what in. But hey, guess what? I don't have a disease that I would have survived with a 99.7% chance of anyway.
Yeah.
Well, Michael,
we're pretty
easy on you. Does the press have any curiosity whatsoever, Larkin? Is there even a molecular cell of inquisitiveness anywhere?
No.
Why would we take economic advice from a science? Anything that's not science. which is subjective most of the time anyway, but anything that isn't science coming out of the mouth of a scientist, Mark, is a worthless, useless, irrelevant, insignificant, and hysterical opinion. When Anthony Fauci says anything that doesn't have anything to do with immunology, which is what he's educated in, anything that's not immunology related is a worthless, useless, irrelevant, insignificant, and hysterical opinion. And I can't pay any bills, Mark, on hysterical opinions.
Yeah, and it makes me think of what Mike sent around with Walt Disney World, 29,000 employees being laid off. The fallout from this is going to be incredible.
Well, you know, Disney World just, and Disneyland and Disney World just opened up maybe 6 weeks ago. And now,
well, only 50%.
Because the airline industry is suffering, there is no one able to travel. They showed some pictures of Disney where people were walking with masks and social distancing. Nobody is going to want to go to a place which is full of fun and have to be so restricted and everything else. It doesn't make sense.
And one other point from the Muir interview, this isn't a hindsight question. We've already gone through a shutdown, Larkin. So it's not like you're asking the question when you don't know anything about COVID, because then, you know, then you could, there'd be some case to be made like, okay, we don't know what we're dealing with. We temporarily shut down. That's a different context. He's saying I'll shut it down because two guys who are trained in science say shut it down. He's saying that after we've already gone through shutdowns.
And after we already saw what happened to this country as a result of the leadership of China, not the communist government of China, not telling us the truth. And secondly, the World Health Organization, who was informed in November, what did not contact health organizations around the world to alert them.
And Mike,
I don't know, any small business owner who's listening right now, I want to ask them the question. Whatever our opinions of the debate last night, and that's why I don't like debates. I just don't like them. So I'm in agreement with what you guys are saying here. All I'm asking small business owners right now is this. Do you want to even remotely take the chance that you're going to put into office a guy who's going to listen to two doctors and scientists who are going to say shut it down, and then they're going to shut the economy down again? As a small business
rich.
You want to take that chance?
Biden said he's going to shut it down again, and we're going to live in fear. The problem, there's no respect for businessmen or businesses. Like Larkin said earlier, we are thieves. We create livelihoods. Nobody's worked for a poor person. The business has to be respected. To shut it down again, I'm watching businesses close left and right. New York's not going to open for a couple of years, probably.
Well, you know,
I mean, it's terrible.
You are so right. I want to add something here. You know, Joe Biden has been on the government payroll for almost half a century. He's been paid. He should know more about government and how to keep businesses open and how important it is to have people employed, not to have been during his almost half century being allowed to see people wave goodbye to businesses going overseas. Coming in made in China, made in every other place, but not in America.
Is the way I see it, unfortunately. That's just how it is.
How many years?
No respect in New York for business.
You know, all these people use their influence to get things for their own families and their own friends without taking a real close look at America overall. The everyday person, like all of us. How are we going to survive? How do we do for ourselves, make a future for our own families, or the future of their own families in this country? I mean, we can't be holding people by the hand, walking them down the road. We have to teach people how to do things on their own. That's not being done with the way a lot of the stuff is being presented.
And, Michael, I have another comment. This is actually one for Larkin. Now, I sit Larkin and watch you. Me and Larkin have been. Larkin's gonna work with me to make America less lowercase d democratic again. Because we're gonna work to require passing a civics exam to vote. And yes, I'm actually working on that in Florida. Different discussion. Larkin, last night, it's almost exactly equally alarming to me, is the fact that Joe Biden with a Democrat Senate will end the filibuster. Here's my question, Larkin. Do most voters even know what that is? And yet it is so consequential. Does everyone – let me give a quick civics lesson, Michael. Because I'm going to say it again. Here's the other logist prediction. Whatever party wins the presidency will win the House and the Senate. This is not going to be a split down the middle like it was with Obama. Well, I like Obama, but I want a Republican Senate and Congress. Nope. Nope, Mark. The party that wins the presidency wins down ballot. Does everyone out there, just so everyone understands in simple terms what that means, ending a filibuster, with a Democrat president, Senate, and House, the Democrats will push through any bit of legislation they want, Larkin, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So people should get off their asses today and go to, I don't know, you got it right down the road, Michael, the Constitution Center. Every time I come into Philly, I always mean to go to the Constitution Center, but I always get dragged out to go drink beer at the German bar down on Market Street. So I'm not complaining, but I keep meaning to go to the Constitution Center. Everyone has to understand what that means. And the filibuster, that means the Dems will push through everything and anything legislatively, Mark, that they want. And most voters have no idea. And you know why Biden doesn't answer the question, Michael, about the filibuster? Because the moment he's in office, he's going to take the marching orders on what to do. End the filibuster? Done. Do this? Done. Pack the courts? Done. 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 Everybody has to understand what that is.
Well, I'm thinking I'm going to see the results of what happens in Pennsylvania. When they said, they announced it yesterday, that 67% of the people have announced that they will be going to the polls to vote in person. I like that. I'm an in-person voter. I received, believe it or not, unrequested, most of my neighbors, we all received a ballot in the mail. None of us requested it. I got more registration information in the mail than I requested. I don't know what the hell is going on. But there is one thing that's very interesting. The coronavirus pandemic has really helped Americans see that we have to wake up and support American-made because China is a major competitor. And we allowed them to be the major competitor. All the people who served in the House and then the Congress too long, in my estimation, 25, 30, 40 years. At this point, that's no longer an honor to be serving someplace for 40 years when you're not in touch with the reality, the new electronic media and everything that you have at your fingertips. The pandemic did wake up a lot of people when they saw the fact that they are losing money, losing time, seeing how terrible some of their sons and daughters are being educated. This is a big problem. It's a wake-up call for America. You know, before I go further, I want to ask all of you a big question. If you had to watch the debate with anyone yesterday, who would you want to be watching that debate with? Rich, I'm going to start with you.
The president's chief of staff, Mark Meadows.
Okay. Larkin, who would you like to be watching the debate with?
Ronald Reagan.
Okay. Mark Endel?
Yeah, I'd take the vice president, Pence.
I would like to be sitting there watching the debate with only one person, Hillary Clinton. I would like to see her reaction to that debate.
I like that. I like that, Mike.
After debating Trump 4 years ago, I'd like to see her reactions. I would like to see how she paraded around that television as she watched it. That would be worth $1 million. I'd like to hear her comments today. I thought it was too many interruptions for me. I didn't like it. And it took away from the ability to speak up about important things, important issues. And I hope that each of the candidates will agree next time to shut up and let the other candidate speak. Yes, Mark.
Well, that's not.
I had a comment. I took my father to the hunting camp over the weekend. We got a Bug Light inside outhouse. He loves it. He's 84, right, so he doesn't get out much. But I rode by the Amish, lots of Amish all around the area, you know, western New York, and none of them had masks, Mike. We had 20, I had 40 together. I was just looking. They don't have TV masks, and I was just, you know, in their life, in their world, you know, they just do their work and run their life. It was very interesting. But, you know, just to see how other people react. You know, New York, we've got people in cars with, you know, double masks on and crazy things going on. When things are opening up and getting back to norm here, Mike, we had our first, well, second bus of the year, 110 buses canceled. We had a bus of Californians fly into Pittsburgh and drive up yesterday, 26 only, because you can only have half. But, you know, a lot of them had Trump hats. A lot of them were outspoken. I was surprised, but it was nice to see some people at the store. But what a shame. It reminded me how it used to be, all these great Americans coming to the store in buses, that all that's shut down. But we got one bus of they lived by L.A., and they came over, but, you know, of course, that was before the big debate and all that. But they were talking a lot of Trump, and they like to change what they've seen in the last 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, look, Mark, you're a perfect example.
I didn't expect that from California.
Look at the bus industry. I send you the information about the
decimated.
The bus industry is over. And many of the parents are home. Many of the parents are home sitting in amazement watching what goes on with some of these teachers in the school and how this is going on. There should be a way to get those kids back to school with the proper cautions and everything else. Educate them together. People need to be together. The coronavirus that originated in China also caused a lot of difficulties for people, including overindulgence in food, refreshments of every type, and drugs, just to name a few. Americans are not socializing with restrictions in their own house. They need to get out. They need to add to their life, add to the economy, add to the joy of the world. I don't understand why every governor should be in Washington every week reporting on what they're doing within their states to make their states get moving again. We're now 7 months into this process. What the hell is the future?
Yeah, and Mike, these poor restaurants around me, they were outside. They built new patios outside. You can have them. You can't have nobody at a bar unless you have a piece of food. You know, our governor came up with that. Now it's getting bad weather. The weather's changing. Beautiful for the leaves, but cold, sleet today. These restaurants are done. You can't run on 50% inside. You know, you can't go outside now because of the cold. They got to lift some laws and get going here.
You know,
I got a good idea, Mark. Let's listen now to scientists, most of which comes out of their mouths anyway is subjective. And let's take their advice on what to do with the... Well, I think we should shut it down again. Okay, I guess we'll shut it down again.
A couple years shut it down.
And Larkin, we haven't even gotten... all this shutdown talk, Larkin, and I haven't even mentioned the fact that we're going to add about, I don't know, $3-4 trillion.
Oh, at least.
What's $3-4 trillion, Larkin?
At least. And, you know, another thing is we have to look out for the people living paycheck to paycheck. You know, that's a big percentage of the American people. A lot of the people in the poor cities, the poor areas, not that they want to be poor, but their jobs were taken and, you know, outsourced to other countries. If those jobs never left America, we would have no unemployment problems. Poverty would be much, much lower, and we would have real progress in this country. But because all these people in Washington, these old people that sat in those positions for years and years, allowed these things to happen. They didn't care. They're living in Washington, getting paid. They're big deals. Oh, my God. I'm insulted that this one said this and that. You should have been insulted 30 and 40 years ago and spoke up about it, and you didn't.
Yeah, people don't want to hear they're going to die every night. A priest told me, I'm going to die. I'm going to pay taxes. There's going to be change in my life. We know that. We want to live our life, and we've got to get going.
Well, I'm from the old school, and I always was. When you're born, you are given an expiration date, and that's your date. No matter how that happens, that was meant for you to that to happen to you. So live your life in the most positive way that you can. Enjoy yourself. Speak to people. Love people. Have a good time. You know, add to the happiness of the world. All this, these press people, like I said earlier in the program, all these voter registrations campaigns brought about 35 million people for the Democrats, 25 million for the Republicans, and 40 million for the independents. So what does that mean? What does that mean?
And the most important part of the whole thing, it rings true as much as all politics are local. Don't ever, as a candidate, don't ever say anything except that which will get you elected.
Right.
Whether you know what you're talking about, whether you have any plans of doing whatever it is you're talking about, you know, say whatever will get you elected. That is Donald Trump's problem.
Yeah, as I said earlier.
He doesn't say what's going to get him elected. He says what he thinks.
Yeah, the only thing people saw yesterday is President Trump is not a person who's not going to speak his mind. He overreacted. I want to see the next debate to be two people speaking up, and let it be point for point, and let's get it over with.
And don't say anything except that which will get you elected.
Maybe if they shut off the mics, Mike, you might get that. You get a mic control.
If I was Chris Wallace, if I was Chris Wallace, I would have put the claw down yesterday. I really would have, because I didn't like this. I mean, he sat there and he took pleasure in watching this battle. That's not what the American people were tuned into. They tuned into a debate to see what person is going to offer us the best deal as our president. That's what they tuned in for. That's why I tuned in for. If I was not involved in the way I am, I would tune in for 10 minutes and shut it off. Well, as you can hear by the music, it's time for us to say goodbye. I would wonder, and maybe we'll hear the reaction of Hillary Clinton in the next day or so. If we do, make sure you let me know about it, because I'd like to report what she thought of the debate, but she had gone through it 4 years ago. Until this
Michael,
Saturday.
I heard that Hillary Clinton was watching SpongeBob SquarePants. Didn't watch the
Listen, until this Saturday at 11 and Sunday at 12:30 in the afternoon, you're invited to tune into a special presentation at Polish American Celebration on WPVI TV 6 ABC as we celebrate October as Polish American Heritage Month. Thanks for all that you do to help American workers. God bless you, God bless your family, and may God bless America.
Have a great week, guys. Vote with your dollar. Remember, we're making a difference.